The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, it is that time. It is time for the best Tuesday you've had all week, and this is the True Wealth Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Littlejohn. Joining me in studio,
Matt Dixon.
And we are stoked to be here on this a day where have we got a show for you. You're going to maybe laugh about it.
Well, how about we set the backdrop first with locally kind of what we're experiencing. You know, it's not even local. I mean, I saw videos of like Buffalo, New York had a huge
all
blizzard that came through, like... We just had an NFL football game played in some of the coldest conditions of all time, right? Like the temperature felt like negative 30.
Right. And you know, here's the fun thing. If you're watching this and it's not going on right now, show's still going to be relevant.
It will.
We are talking about, this is not a show about the markets today. It's a funny one. It's
we
show
might
about,
loop it back a little
well,
bit into the stock
relevant,
market. It is.
But it's the, here's why it's relevant. One of the questions that I get thrown at me every now and then is, or it's not even a question, but it's the scenario of people saying, well, I want to make sure I have gold and cash in case everything, you know, goes to hell in a handbasket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what this show is about today is, okay, well, what's the definition of catastrophe and what does it mean to be prepared?
And yeah, maybe some of the stuff you actually might need.
Yep. So it's kind of the prepper show. Some of you out there are like, finally.
And then other people are like, oh, stop. But, you know, in a natural, this could be something just like a natural disaster, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, this is still relevant to you because do you have the things on the list that you need to have? Odds are you probably have a lot of things, but maybe not all the things that you need.
Right. Maybe not all the things. So we're going to talk a little bit today in, well, I use the term like in the office of DEFCON, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a military term. So defense condition 1 through 5. If you saw War Games back in the 80s, you know what I'm talking about. And if you didn't, I don't know, go see it. It's funny and dated now, but it's still kind of novel. But the question is sort of framed up as how does one get prepared for disaster? And then what does it mean financially to be prepared too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So and I feel like we'll touch on the financial part maybe later in the show.
Yeah. We're going to weave it in to what this is here. But, you know, we can start from, I think, what we're experiencing right now, which is
ice storms and people are out of power.
And it's sort of a local to regional event here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Personally, I was trying to fly back last week as this storm was coming in. My flight got diverted and ended up, was trying to fly into Eugene, ended up in Portland, and I couldn't get back. Ended up renting a car to get back that night.
You
did? It was about 10, 11 p.m. By the time everything was settled and we left Portland Airport, it was about a little after midnight.
So you drove through the storm?
Yeah.
Wow, how was that?
Well, it was the very beginning of the storm, and so it was not significant accumulation and there wasn't significant ice. It was slick. In plenty of areas. And so it was, be appropriate for conditions. Obviously made it safely. But glad I did because that flight
you could have been
leave
stuck
for several days. I think it's been canceled yet again. So I could have still been trapped up in Portland because of this weather.
Wow.
And fortunately, that's not the case. So that was Friday and today's Tuesday. So you could figure it out. So I think this is very timely for right now. But again, this could be something that you could be listening at any point because if you don't know, we podcast this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be available on YouTube and it's going to be available on our website so you can get the rest of the show if you missed part of it. But I do want to talk about the concept of being prepared.
Because some people aren't. I just saw a friend post on Facebook that they were in a hotel. They lost power. They weren't prepared for anything. And it got cold. Their house got really cold, and they're like, man, we don't have any supplies. We got to go get a hotel right now.
Yep. And I'm also going to tell you, we're not the authority on this.
No.
But some of this is pretty low-hanging fruit, and I would like to say that an ounce of prevention right, is worth a pound of cure. So we're going to talk about how to invest in a little bit of preparedness, and that little bit of preparedness can go a long way. So
what's something that kind of comes to mind for you where you're like, man, you know, if the power's out for, you know, a couple days, this is something I might really want to have?
Sure. So let's define the scenarios, because I think there's different versions of this, right?
There is.
There's the scenario where, like right now, let's say power goes out and it's super cold. That's a different scenario than power going out in the summertime.
It's true.
Right? If it's super cold, like in the middle of an ice storm, you have the power go out. You don't necessarily lose everything in the freezer.
Right. We saw that during what we deemed Snowmageddon a few years ago, right?
2019.
Like, yeah.
It was infamous. Yes.
Yeah. We got a ton of snow here. Power got knocked out.
Yeah,
and so
my home was without power for a week.
I had friends that were telling me stories of like, hey, I just took the stuff out of the fridge and went in the backyard and put it in the snow.
Right.
And everything was preserved.
Yeah, and that works.
That's
really
a
well
lot
for
different than
refrigerator
summertime.
Refrigerator stuff too. Mm-hmm. Freezer stuff, not necessarily as well.
Right, because if it defrosts, you can't necessarily refreeze it.
Yeah, and here's an not necessarily intuitive, but snow is an insulator, so it will keep things from getting significantly below freezing. Right,
that's
so
true.
Keep it at freezing, but not colder than. Mm-hmm. So if you have certain things in the freezer, they need to be even colder than freezing because they've got salt and other impurities that mean that at 32 degrees, they can still thaw.
Right.
So you need below freezing to keep them frozen. So I think, well, why don't we start with, since this is what we're going with right now, like a really cold event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are some of the things that I would want to have on hand?
Well, what are you thinking?
Well, the first thing is a way to stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
So if the power goes out, you know, the first things are obvious. It's just clothes, gloves, blankets, hats, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then if you do not have an independent
like heat
source.
So, yeah. Like a fireplace is great. If you have a bunch of dry wood cut up, stacked,
wood stove is great.
Good for you. But what about for the person that doesn't have the fireplace or the firewood?
Okay. So this is where you get really simple. And come on, we're in the Pacific Northwest. How about a camp stove? Okay, something basic and fuel, and it doesn't need to be big and exotic here, right? But something
right. You can cook some food.
You could even just have like a propane grill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we actually did use that. In fact, turns out a cookie sheet on the grill, and you can make awesome bacon.
There you go. So you want to stay well fed. So you got then they make the really small like butane single burner cook stoves. You don't have to invest more than like $20 to have one of these things. They're cheap.
That is low hanging fruit there, and you're not going to be cooking a lot of stuff.
No,
right. But I think the magic of being able to simply heat water, which is useful for a couple of reasons. One, because it's also a way to sterilize water.
Right.
Because if we were talking about the summertime and you were unsure about a water source, you could mechanically filter out impurities. But in order to get rid of stuff that's dangerous, you could boil that water for 2 to 10 minutes and you're going to kill most of the stuff in there.
You know, one thing I think a lot of people don't think about, having like a manual type kitchen tool where you can open, like, for example, a can opener.
Yeah.
A lot of people have electric can openers, but say the power's out. And you need to open a can to put it on your little camp stove and heat something up. It's not bad to have a little $2 can opener where you open it yourself.
Right. So I think the basics here are sources. When you don't have power, you want a source where you can get – you need food and water.
Mm-hmm.
And
heat. We talked about heat.
Food, water,
I mean,
heat.
Propane heaters, they're – they're easy to come by. I know when I was at Bi-Mart the other day, they were talking about how some people locally that have been without power for the last 3 days have been driving an hour south to get propane and propane heaters. And they're flying off the shelf because they want to stay warm.
Yeah.
They're cheap.
Well, and interestingly enough, there are some propane-based heaters that can operate safely indoors.
Yep.
Right? They do not emit carbon monoxide, and so they are a safe way to be a heat source.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue is largely about, do you have adequate fuel? And here's one of the things you're gonna have to realize. You may not have complete comfort. Now, for some of you, you might have the ability to add a generator.
Right.
Okay. And generator's great because then you can sort of be somewhat temporarily independent of the grid.
Oh, yeah. A generator is an awesome thing to have.
Right. But it is also a more expensive thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
If it is portable, that also means that it has the potential to
not put out as much electricity.
Well, it's not going to produce as much, and it's also they can be stolen, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the thing, is now you have to secure them in a different way than a generator that is, say, like a whole home generator.
I would love to have a backup generator, like that automatically knows when the power goes out, mm-hmm. kicks itself on, runs on natural gas. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, as a kid, I remember thinking it was really exciting when the power went out, because it's like, oh, look, now we're camping and it's an adventure. After doing it for a week, I was ready to have a generator. We haven't done that, and sometimes I think to myself, maybe worth it. Although, so far, you know, Douglas County, but certainly the Roseburg area we're at, has not been materially affected by what's going on out there.
Right. Well, we do have a gas shortage.
Yeah.
That's interesting news.
That is. And so I think that goes into...
you got to have fuel for that generator.
Yeah. And so you think about what are the smart things to do. Probably
have some gas cans.
Well, and keeping it simple, right? Gas is for your vehicle, right? That's one of those where you go, well, you may not be going around much. But if you have, say, you're going to use some kind of camp-style stove, having adequate fuel, look, a 5-gallon propane cylinder is going to last a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And you could also potentially run a heater. And now you've got yourself a pretty good emergency preparedness kit that can handle both heat and can be a heat source for food. If you don't need the heat source because it's warmer weather, then you don't worry about it, and the fuel lasts that much longer.
Right.
And you can ration these things. And we talked about this earlier, too. Like, even generator, you could run it for a little while, turn it off. So, like, if you were trying to keep a freezer frozen, run it for half an hour, shut it down, and, you know, turn it back on in 6 hours just to make sure things stay frozen.
Especially if your natural disaster happens in the summertime, right? Yeah. Like, you want to be able – say you have a freezer full of, you know, your deer and elk meat or something – that's a pretty valuable resource. You don't want to lose it because you couldn't get your power back on. So having a generator and some gas and the ability to keep your freezer, your stocked up freezer going, that's a big deal.
Right. And their husbands everywhere or boyfriends or whatever just heard the, maybe it's ladies too, I don't know, but they just heard you say, wait a minute. So buying this gear is really insurance, which makes it okay.
I like that theory.
All right, there
we
go. So there's a true wealth moment where we rationalize buying, camping gadgets. Look,
what else do we need, David?
Oh, there's more on the list. Well, we'll just talk about the levels of escalation and duration. But before we do, all right, obscene profit break. We got to take one. So we're gonna do that, and then when we come back, we will get more into the weeds here. So stick around. We'll be right back. It's Dave Littlejohn
and Matt Dixon,
and you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Show. And just remember, you can grab this on the podcast. So
yes.
If you are getting caught up today, we're talking about scenarios where it hits the fan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And different levels of hitting the fan.
Different levels of fan hittage?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so walk me through kind of the baseline scenario here, man. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so this is kind of that low-level emergency thing, right? Like, maybe it's some type of natural disaster.
Maybe
where
it's not even an emergency as much as like
a shortage.
Lockdown-ish.
Yeah.
Or just like this one. It's a weather event, right? It's a weather event that says
weather
you're kind of weathered into place. So if we were to just say, like, you have to kind of stay in place.
For like a week or less, I think, would be a good way to define
that. So
this
is kind of the 1 week.
Yeah. So we talked about some stuff. If you missed it, you can catch the podcast at our website, littlejohnfs.com.
All right, good plug.
Yeah. But some of the things we didn't cover, right? We can talk about food, and maybe we will in a minute, but you can last for a little while without food, but water, you can't last very long without some water. So there's water purifiers now that are really cheap, and you probably should use one even if there isn't a natural disaster, because your tap water has stuff in it. You want to get that out. It's going through your old pipes.
Your tap
right?
water's fine. Stop freaking out.
Hey, there's no, like, you've got old pipes in your house. Do you really? No, just put it through your little water.
Your house is brand new. Yeah.
Yeah.
The water is safe. We're in Oregon. It's not.
No,
like
our
LA
drinking water is actually really good. There's other states, though, that are listening where your drinking water probably isn't
that great.
But I think
it's. If we had a power outage, it's possible that water delivery is compromised, and you have to
right.
find water, and you need a way to make sure that it's safe.
Right.
Right. And so this is an inexpensive scenario, right? And,
right.
and you're talking about probably, you know, between $15 and $100, depending on how exotic you want to get.
Exactly.
But for, you know, that $15 to $30 price range, you know, you can filter thousands of gallons of water.
Exactly.
And it is safe to drink.
And if there is a bigger emergency, you'll be glad you had it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty low-hanging fruit. But, you know, shelf-stable foods are a big one, right? Like,
yeah.
if there's a big run at the grocery store and there's a lot of stuff that's missing, it wouldn't be bad to have some canned fruits, some beans, some rice, like the stuff
like
that lasts.
I just like the idea of shelf-stable and compact,
yeah.
right? Just
yeah.
having stuff that
it's easy to get to.
It's not you're not typically going to this as you're going to tap into. Although you might keep it in
sure.
rotation.
But I know some people that eat out for every single meal, and I'm like,
yeah.
what happens if there's a small emergency and you
right.
literally have no food in your house? That's
but
not
there
smart.
There are some basics that are very shelf stable, and you know the classics are, you know, beans and rice dry up really easy. And I'm not advocating, I mean, that's always the joke in finance. Like, well, if you're starving, you know, you go to beans and rice. Like, you get it, but it's also it's shelf stable. You can package it away in some, you know, sealed, you know, airtight box kind of thing, or just Tupperware for that matter,
some
right?
Some canned tuna is going to last a long time.
And that's it. It's like you just need enough that you've got some calories to maintain energy levels until things stabilize.
Right.
And this is not just a, oh, we had a big snowstorm. Although that could happen here in the winter time or in the summertime, we've seen forest fires happen more frequently, right? It could be something like, well, there's rolling brownouts and your power's going to get shut down for a few days. Or the bigger one is a natural disaster of some kind. We have an earthquake or something and we lose a bridge or two and we can't get stuff in for a little while.
Right.
That's an infrastructure event, and you're going to want to have the ability to at least buy a little bit of time so that you're not driven by panic and necessity.
Right.
Right. And so this is that ounce of prevention concept of just having a little bit around goes a long way.
Right.
So you had a list for this kind of the 1 week. And what have we gone through so far?
We've got through most of it. The only two that I had left on there were candles, right? Because
okay.
they serve a dual purpose. They emit heat, so you're going to get some warmth from the candles, but you're also going to get light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
and
also
I would suggest so
flashlight and some batteries.
Flashlight or headlamp is great.
Those are.
And because they're LED now, they just last so much
it's true.
Longer. And, you know, here's a really interesting one. I can speak to this one a little bit, but if you have any kind of medical equipment you're reliant upon.
Ooh, that's a good
idea.
Yeah.
Maybe you have sleep apnea and you've got a CPAP, or if you've got a portable oxygen generator when you sleep or something like that, then having a battery backup source or backup power source for that is actually pretty significant. So I think that you want to have the ability to make sure that if you have any equipment that's going to be life-sustaining or life-improving, because a lot of time, all right, so you have sleep apnea, you know, the first night you survive, but by the third or fourth night, it's not good, right?
Right.
And then you start having other compromises. Well, answer prevention again. That's
mm-hmm.
that's one of those things that it's probably worth having that backup plan.
You know, keeping like a deep cycle battery charged up and going to and getting one of those really cheap inverters where you can hook
mm-hmm.
it up to a deep cycle battery, that's going to give you plug-in electric power that's safe for small devices for a pretty long time too.
Yeah. It is also convenient to people don't think about this, but charging your phone.
Oh yeah.
Right? If your mobile phone is your only phone,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to want the ability to get communication. And so you're going to want to be able to charge those devices. So there is a real consideration there.
Right. So that's a good one.
All right. Well, let's thinking now about
kind of transitioning over into that like longer time period.
Yeah. Let's say it was more significant, or that you were it involved. You can't stay in place. So we have an event that is going to require that you evacuate.
Okay.
So.
Or maybe not even that as much as you're going to have to ride this out for even more than a week. Or you might have to, like you said, move around.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just stay there. You got to go get some stuff to bring it back. Something mm-hmm. where it's not just you're going to sit and wait it out.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's
so
fair.
So in that scenario, talking about, and you know, I'm looking at this list that you've prepared, and I'm started, and I see this as it could be that you're still in place, but this is you're in
yeah.
it. You're like, this is happening. You're going to be here, and we're talking weeks.
Right. This is like, I mean, you could have had a really large magnitude earthquake that knocked out like maybe all the bridges around you, mm-hmm. and you're trapped, and semi trucks aren't getting in.
Yep.
Right. And so stuff's having to be flown in. This is a real problem. And if you look at it, California's preparing for this, or trying to. They're trying to come up with emergency plans because they're looking at it and saying, what happens if we get a big fault shift? And they've said, you know, there are so many connecting bridges in Southern California to where if something happens, people aren't going to be able to get semi-trucks coming in with goods.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be prepared for it. And California is really worried about it as a state. And so they've been spending millions of dollars to try and get plans in place for if this happens.
I, you know, at the risk of sounding really... well, I guess at the risk of just inciting people to anger when I say this, we did learn through the response from COVID where we were or where we were not prepared.
Yes.
Right? And you can scream all you want about, you know, if you think that what happened was right, wrong, or otherwise. We still, you know, things like, well, we want to have the plenty of PPE equipment, right?
Right.
It's like, that wasn't
well, and
we didn't have ready enough supplies,
you know? Right. And look at what just some panic did to behavior. Mm-hmm. And when you start adjusting behavior and a little bit of panic comes in, you see massive changes
right.
in availability of things. Like, I can remember during COVID when you couldn't get toilet paper,
right?
There was fear that the lockdowns were going to get so severe, and so Costco couldn't even
stock
yeah. toilet paper. That's one of the things that's actually on this list is some bathroom supplies, right? Like, you don't yeah. want to run out of toilet paper or toothpaste, floss, soap, feminine hygiene products. Like, those things you got to have on hand
mm-hmm.
If it's going to be a situation where things last maybe longer than a week.
Yeah. So on your list, let's see what you've got here. You included this one's interesting because I can see it, and if you've ever done like the camping and hunting and stuff, I can, you know, it makes even more sense. But a portable toilet.
Yep, I have one for extended camping trips. You get a 5-gallon bucket, and there's this cheap lid that snaps onto the top of it, and they make liners specifically for the bucket. And there's like some powder in the bottom that
helps absorb smells.
Smells and
so
all
forth.
The different stuff, and there's a little drawstring that ties it off. And it keeps everything super sanitary, and it's
yeah.
not super uncomfortable to use.
It's something people don't necessarily think about, but if you lost running water,
oh yeah,
that would be a very real concern for people, is how do you manage that?
Right.
And so it's interesting to think this. And I think what we're really encouraging is, like many things, you want to go through a little bit of a mental exercise of what might be needed.
Right.
Right? And incidentally, this list that we have, just want to let you know, if you're interested in this, the list that we're going over, you're welcome to email us and we can get it to you. Just send an email to info@littlejohnfs.com and say, hey, give me the prepper list, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll call it that. It's funny. And we'll just go with that.
Yeah.
And if you're watching this online somewhere, I think we'll probably put it down in the, you know, they got the little links below. Where
right.
you can click it. So if you're watching this on video right now, yeah, you, then go ahead and you can check the link out below. But it's not an exhaustive list, by the way.
No,
it's
actually
a good
pretty
starter
short.
List
yeah.
that says, have you have you covered your bases with these basics? Okay. You mentioned what else you got on this list here.
I put on there a bike, right? Like if you're trying to save gas for your generator or, you know, road systems are maybe not in the best shape for whatever reason, having a bike is an easy way to get from point A to point B and bring some supplies back to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So that makes sense. You've got, it looks like I can just summarize this as a way to clean and maintain clothes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So this was just washboard bucket and like a clothesline and so forth.
Yeah.
So, okay. That makes sense that, you know, you're going to need to still manage hygiene, and that includes getting stuff cleaned up.
You know, now that I'm a parent, I started also thinking, you got the little one, right? You got a baby on hand, especially if they're on formula. Maybe having a little bit of extra formula on hand would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe some baby wipes and diapers and stuff like that. Don't forget the little one.
Just so we're clear, I think baby wipes should just be a staple in life forever. I'm not sure that you need to have a baby to have baby wipes. Or
no, it's a good
They're
way
awfully
to
handy to wipe stuff up and just everything.
Baby wipes
they
are a
great
good one,
in
aren't
the
they?
Car because it seems like that's where the sticky stuff spills.
So what's
like,
funny
oh, look,
is
magic.
I never carried baby wipes in the car until having the little one, and now I've found myself using them for all sorts of little tiny cleanups. Right. Yeah.
Right. So
they're super clutch.
That's not even an emergency. There's just a pro tip for you.
Yeah, I like it. From someone who's had what, 3 kids?
Yeah,
right?
We're three deep into this one. So. And and there are a lot of people that have way more experience than me, and they'll say the same darn thing. Yeah, baby wipes are they're good.
So remember earlier on in the show when we were talking about, you know, kind of having some shelf stable foods. You've got your beans and your rice and your fruit, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think another big one to think about, if you're not getting maybe proper nutrition through that cycle of, you know, kind of going through it, having some vitamins on hand might not be, or like a medical kit and some vitamins.
First
something,
aid kits.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you should have that again. That's, if we were talking about, you know, what's the first line of defense, it's like, well, you should have some basic first aid and hygiene stuff around. I think everybody, like every home, they're really cheap. You should have some rubbing alcohol. You should have some hydrogen peroxide. You should have a basic first aid kit. Now it gives you the ability to clean and disinfect things and to patch up the basics. Like that's not really emergencies. That's just
good,
you know,
good things to have in your house.
It's kind of like, I think everybody should carry one of those tiny little hotel sized sewing kits with you when you travel, because a button pops off of something and you're like, you got to be kidding me.
Or you just rip the rest of the buttons off and call it like modern chic clothing, right?
Yeah. Well, I was at a formal event and had a button on my tuxedo pop off right before leaving.
Oh, no.
And had the emergency.
You are that prepared guy, aren't
and
you?
And was able to patch it up and go out there, and nobody was any wiser for it. So.
That actually would be kind of embarrassing, right? You show up to this big event and you kind of look
you
like
literally, and you know, everything else is, you know, cufflinks, and then you get to the button on the jacket and you're like, what's up? And then of course the jokes would follow that, huh, so maybe I need to work on that diet plan, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
Yeah, you don't want those jokes to have to circulate around too much.
All right, so also on the list you've got bleach.
Yeah.
Bleach is a super handy one. You know, I want to do this because bleach, we don't talk about a simple one on this, but so
ooh,
let's
you've
do
got
this.
You've got one that's not on the list.
Well,
I'm
no,
curious.
No, it's about bleach, but it's something that a lot of folks don't necessarily know.
Now I'm intrigued.
I know, right? It's you may already know it, but like anyway, let's take our next break. So that when we can come back, we can talk about how, like, bleach quality investment in case of emergencies, right?
Okay.
All right, stick around. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, no. Right as I bring in the intro. And you, all right, welcome back to the True Wealth Show, where Matt's talking about silly stuff.
Yeah.
We're the
No, the dinosaurs aren't returning.
Okay. Bring them back so the meat. No, okay.
All right. So
if you missed that part, you can find it probably on the podcast tomorrow the bloopers.
It might end up in the on YouTube.
You guys miss a lot when we go to break, just so you know.
So we got this. Here's the I'm gonna set the table for this last segment here.
All right.
You know, because I think we have one more break in there, but yeah. Like, let's, you know, stay with me here. We're talking about prepping, right? I mean, something we get a lot. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this is, one, all around us seems to be having catastrophe and we're avoiding it. Yay, right?
Yep.
For us locally. If you're watching on YouTube, maybe that's not your case. Bummer. And I do mean that. Like, bummer. I hope that you're doing okay. But if you think about the way disasters or disruptive events occur, the question is, you know, how long is it going to last and what's the nature of the event? Okay. So a weather event, that's something that everybody kind of makes their way through. And as the weather stabilizes, we recover and you go back to things. And what you're really looking for is just the ability to absorb that initial impact and wait through it and not suffer too much and survive to get to the other side of it as the infrastructure is restored and everybody kind of goes to work, bringing life back to normal. Okay, that's one level, and that's the first level that we really talked about. Then we talked about perhaps it's natural disasters that have more significant impact.
Right.
Okay. Now, here's the financial components involved. That first level, that's a matter of intentionally carving out some money to spend on, it's just like buying insurance, right? Some of the things that we're talking about, you buy it not because you want to use it, but because it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Ooh,
and so
yes.
It's like an insurance premium. You don't buy insurance hoping to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not the point. You buy insurance because it's a risk you don't want to carry unexposed. And so the question is, do you want to have the risk exposure of not covering this?
Right.
That's a lot like risk tolerance and financial management too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's why this show is relevant. And that's why we're talking about these things. Now, this disaster, the wrong term, right? This disruptive event goes to more significant. And this is where in the Pacific Northwest, we're talking about significant volcanic activity, significant earthquake or earth movement event. I say earth movement because we could also get landslides have been issues before where road systems are washed away and you are cut off from supplies and it's going to be an extended amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now you're getting into a different environment.
We're escalating
right?
this thing a little
you're
bit.
You're cut off from supplies, and we're talking weeks instead of days. And you start to have to...
This isn't like a local disruption. This is more of a nationwide disruption.
Or when I think local, maybe you're coastal Oregon, and a landslide or two can literally cut off a section of the Oregon coast because you can't get to it,
mm-hmm.
right? There's no significant airport, so air support's very limited in terms of what you can get there. So you're going to have to either bring ships and then try to get stuff into ports, or you're going to have to use helicopters or something because you're not bringing it in planes, and you can't truck it in. And maybe the trains are blocked because you have a landslide that takes out like roads and railroads. And that could really happen.
Well, and we've seen these fault lines shift mm-hmm. and cause miles and miles of a split in the earth where it's really, really deep and really long to try and bridge across it. Yeah. So
the if something like that were to occur and you needed to have a more extended ability to survive, that's where we're starting to escalate. But that's also where the finances start to change. Like in that first scenario,
cash is still going
to
work.
It's useful to have cash because if you can't use your credit card, right, you can't use your Apple Pay, then you better have some mechanism to exchange goods and services
right.
temporarily. And having some cash around is still useful.
We're getting into a scenario where maybe the banks aren't even open to go pull your cash or something like that.
And if you're physically cut off, that cash is going to be less meaningful.
Right, because the stuff to survive.
Stuff, the stuff's more valuable than the cash, and so you start getting into barterable goods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's ultimately if we had a cataclysmic meltdown of the whole economic system as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, like, that rolls right off the tongue, right? No, if we had a meltdown where you go, wait a second, there is no more government,
There's nobody maintaining our infrastructure. Power ceases to be delivered. Water ceases to be delivered. There's no common defense. So the police system is basically, you know what happens? Okay. We go back to
lawlessness.
Feudalism.
Yeah.
Well, no, feudalism is Mad Max.
Okay? Yeah.
That is people group together for self-preservation, and they form their own mechanism of protection. So they get a group of people, and it's like knights and serfs, right? And you build walls and castles, and so, okay, well, you guys work the farms, and we protect you.
Hey, speaking of working the farm, that was something I put on this list in one of these events where stuff really goes sideways, was some seeds so that you can grow some stuff some canning supplies.
Yeah, if the world was starting over, right, then what you really want is the things for long-term survival.
Right. Like, and if I go harvest a deer, how am I going to preserve the meat without power? Mm-hmm. I'm going to can it.
There you go.
Yeah. And that's going to be a lot of food for a long time.
Yep. Now, if you take this to the real extreme, and some of you out there may be thinking this too, well, what happens if North Korea goes off the chain and they start lobbing nukes, and before you know it, the whole world's involved and we're talking about nuclear winter and I need to build a bunker.
Okay, well, I don't know that we can go there.
Well, what I will tell you is that's the end of the world.
Right.
Your money doesn't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If that circumstance occurs, who cares about your investments? Who cares about the S&P 500?
Right.
Right? Who cares about your Tesla? Right? Like, all that stuff disappears.
I love that.
And you're
so
into
much.
Just trying to, like, literally survive. And it's like, well, how do I go underground and stay there for a year or two until I have a breathable atmosphere again?
You know, in that circumstance, your cell phone's probably not going to work.
No. Nope.
And so I would highly suggest having some walkie talkies and some batteries, because then you can still communicate from a distance.
Yeah. Or ham radio, that kind of stuff.
Yep, that type of
thing. That's where you are going with it. And by the way, when we get into things like having guns, ammunition, fishing gear, and so forth, that's all survival gear for the type 2 scenario. Type 1 is temporary. Mm-hmm. Type 2 is cut off for extended period of time. Type 3 is end of the world cataclysm.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so end of the world stuff, I think all bets are off. And there'll be a few billionaires that survive in bunkers, and then when they come out, they're going to be very lonely.
Yep. So something to think about. You know, you start talking about the guns and ammunition thing, right?
Right.
A gun is great, but if you don't have the ammunition, that gun isn't going to do you much good.
Well, that's been my joke for years, that, you know, what you want in the end of the world is not cash or gold, but you want guns and whiskey, right? And the bullets that go with it, right? That's the tradable stuff.
Oh, yeah. And so it was funny. On the way here to the show, I was like, I wonder what states are the most prepared, you know, with firearms and ammunition.
Did you look this stat up?
I did.
Oh,
are you ready?
Totally, I'm going to totally make you hold it.
No, I want to do it right now. Right now.
No, you have to hold it because we'll take the break, and now everybody's listening.
What state is most prepared?
I got to know who's prepared for the end of the world. All right. Douglas County, if it was its own state. You guys make me proud. All right, stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where we have not one, but two things that we left a cliffhanger on, right? I forgot one, and then Matt's itching to share one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're talking about end of the world, right?
Right.
Well, we're not just talking about that. We're talking about emergency preparedness and part of financial preparedness, but this one's mechanical and physical preparedness, right?
Right.
So, if you're wondering, like, why on the True Wealth Show, look, we're dealing with it, and this is one of those things that you should be aware of, is that you do need to have some emergency funds set aside, but the more protracted the emergency, the less valuable cash becomes, and the more you want to have tradable stuff. Now, some might argue that gold becomes more useful for trade.
Right. Well, and it was funny, I was reading on this, and they're like, make sure you don't have all of your precious metals that you plan on trading in one big gold block, because that's going to be...
Right,
like,
coins
do you
are
wanna,
more useful than bricks.
They are, because if you have a brick, are you really going to want to give that up for your loaf of bread?
Yeah, Yeah, it's a heck of a loaf of bread, right?
The coins are probably going to be a better bet.
So here's the thing I wanted to share. Before it came down to emergency situations where there was a lack of available water. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we mentioned was bleach.
Right, but we didn't tie that together, did we?
We didn't. I forgot to do this. This is on me. But this is from the EPA's website. Bleach is useful as a water sterilizer.
And I did not know that prior to the show.
And if you go to their website, you can actually see what it is.
But it's not very much. Right. It doesn't take much.
So for a gallon of water, it takes between 6 and 8 drops of bleach, from an eyedropper. And it has to do with how strong the bleach. 6% bleach, 8 drops. 8.25% bleach, 6 drops to a gallon. And then you shake it up and give it 30 minutes, right? And what they say is if it's really cold or if it's visibly dirty, you can up to double the number of drops to sterilize it. Will you taste some bleach? Yes. Right, like you've tasted water.
But it's
water
better
that's been
than getting like some waterborne.
It kills
pathogen.
The stuff off.
Yeah,
and there's tons of videos about like how do you sterilize water, and people don't necessarily think about this, but you could literally like pour it through a sock to get a lot of the dirt and impurities. The mud out. Right,
yeah.
So you're getting the particulates out. It doesn't sterilize it, but it gets the grit out.
Charcoal, you can use.
Charcoal's a really good way. I was going to say, if you were to like burn something, create charcoal, crush it up, and then put it in a sock and pour water through it, it's a
That's
great way
work
to strip
really,
things out.
Yeah.
That's actually a legitimate water filtration system. And then to add that little bit of bleach to it, you do need to let it sit for the bleach to work. But that's a very good way to sterilize and create drinking water. And it also means that you've got that bleach around as a sterilizing agent if you needed to wipe other stuff down.
Right.
So it's useful in that respect. So it's good for emergency preparedness.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now,
what was the other
of
cliffhanger?
Preparedness. All right, Matt.
We were talking about guns, right? Yeah, and we said...
Yeah, we're talking about trading and guns and whiskey and bullets, and like that's useful in the end of the world.
We talked about
scenario.
How you better have enough ammunition for the guns because a gun without ammo is just a stick.
Right. And then Matt goes, hey, what states are the most prepared? And I failed to ask him, define prepared.
So this is guns per capita. So looking at.
So that means prepared is if you have guns, Matt's definition is you're prepared.
How many
guns?
Yeah, we need volume of guns, David. And so I was curious, and I was driving to the radio show. I'm like, I got to know which states have the most guns per person. And it's weird. Take a guess. First one on the list, New Mexico. I didn't see that coming. They have the most guns.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. So 55.
I would have been like Alaska. I would have thought Alaska.
Yeah, I would have thought that too.
Big country and, you know, alone. And
so New Mexico is reporting that they have 55,000 guns per 100,000 people. That's
almost 50% of the population has guns.
Over 50%.
And more than 50%.
Right.
If that is a direct, because it could be one person has 50 guns and some, you know, 49
people. Yeah, exactly. But it
don't.
Averages out to every other person has a gun.
Well, that or there's just arms dealers in New Mexico and the rest of the population's unarmed.
So you know what? Here's my New Year's resolution for everyone living in New Mexico. Let's up it, right? Because I'd love to see it go to a 1-to-1 ratio. So people in New Mexico, if you're listening.
Matt doesn't even hide from it anymore. He's going to drag me through this at some point. I've always tried to be sort of more neutral here. And he's like, not me. I'm straight up laying it out there. Let's get more guns.
For as proud as I am of you, New Mexico, there is so much room for improvement. Let's get that to a 1-to-1 ratio. And let's dog on the worst state in the U.S., and I'm surprised by this one. You actually kind of guessed it. New York.
Super restrictive gun laws.
Yeah.
Right? And then I turn around and ask you specifically
about
Illinois.
So many,
And what are they?
Yeah, they're in the top 10. They're number 9.
Number 9. So they have a lot of guns.
No. Number 9 for the worst.
They have the least.
Yeah.
So they're number 49 then. If New York's
41.
Like, they're 41.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they have.
I was just drawing the correlation between, you know, Illinois, when you consider Chicago as a city, really high gun rate,
right.
Gun violence,
right.
And high murder rate and so forth. And so you look at gun fatalities in Illinois as a state and you think, oh my gosh. And then you go, yeah, but they have some of the lowest gun density.
It makes sense. They're one of the worst states, and the margins are pretty close here, right?
I'm telling you, it's all about it's not the gun, it's the person using the gun that kills people.
Yep. New York was the worst, though. For every 100,000 people, only 4,500 people have a gun.
Yeah, how many of those are law enforcement, I wonder?
Wow. I didn't even think about that. So it's looking pretty bleak in New York.
Is Oregon in the top 10?
They are neither in the bottom 10 nor the top 10. We're kind of in the middle.
We're squarely in the ambiguous zone.
We are. Yep. So, but that's kind of an interesting stat.
Yeah.
So if stuff hits the fan, I'd love to be in New Mexico.
Why would you?
Yeah, mild weather and lots of guns and ammunition.
Well, we're in New Mexico. Just don't make anybody mad. Everybody's really polite, sir, ma'am. Good to see you.
Yep.
Don't mind me. Just minding my own business.
But, you know, have a fishing pole and some fishing gear because you can get a lot of food that way, too. Yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, assuming
if you know how to fish.
And assuming there's fish, right? Good luck right now.
Yeah, the rivers are so blown out. Good luck.
All right. Well, look. So there you have it. List of things to be prepared for, going from most common short-term disruptions to more significant
long-term.
And
if they want the list, we'll get it to you.
Yeah,
email
if you
us.
Want the list, send us an email at info@littlejohnfs.com, and we'll get you that one. But as you can tell by the music, it is time for us to start rocking and rolling here. Matt, how do they reach us if they need financial help?
Give us a phone call, 541-375-0898, or go to our website, littlejohnfs.com.
All right. Well, we're out of time for now. So until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you've been listening to True Wealth. Thanks for tuning in on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The preceding program was paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.